Joe Biden officially accepting the mantle of presidential candidate at the Democratic convention this week, Kamala Harris as his running mate. We're going to be looking at the convention and all the latest from the race on this week's episode. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week leading up to the November 2020 election on all good podcast sources, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. First off this week, I almost hate to be asking this question, but we talked about the dirty tricks going into this election last week. We know about the undermining of postal ballots and the postal service. We're going to talk more about the Senate report on Russian interference in a bit. We know if Joe Biden wins in November, Trump is going to claim the victory was illegitimate, the same way he claimed Clinton winning the popular vote in 2016 was illegitimate without evidence. He's in fact claimed any scenario he loses would have to be illegitimate, and the White House, instead of withdrawing, has actually echoed those sentiments. But at this point, with all that's been going on, if Trump wins, can such a victory still be considered legitimate?
That's an interesting question, because the forces of good, as you say, honors the elections, the codes, the results, and so on. But if he did things to drastically undermine the election, like closing the post offices, like having votes not counted, and that sort of thing, I think it'd go to the Supreme Court. And he's quite right. Remember, he said there might be another rerun of the election. He's going to do everything he can to keep this election from being won by any manner by the other side. Now, he has three choices. One is to quit pretty much now while he's ahead. Two is to try to do everything he can to undermine the existing election. And three is to see it through and then resign before the inauguration so he can be absolved of all the crimes he's committed that are now a matter of record with the intelligence report. So things are looking pretty grim for him. And as you know, when a rat is cornered, he is most dangerous.
Just before we get on to the convention, we've seen Nancy Pelosi bring this one to the House and Postmaster General Louis DeJoy walk back plans that Democrats feared could disrupt the infrastructure needed for mail-in voting. Is that going to be enough in terms of the, well, in terms of the mail-in voting situation?
No, it isn't. A lot more will have to be done. In the first place, a lot of mailboxes have been removed. Are they going to be replaced? And that's what they're going after. And she's going to ask that they be replaced in the places where people are asking for them to be replaced. She's going to ask that overtime be counted, ask that machines that process the mail be put back in. All those things will be helpful, but they're actually helpful for both sides. In the old days, Republicans were the ones who did their ballots by mail. And still in most states, you have to request a ballot. That is helpful to the Republicans. That's one of the reasons you don't hear them saying, no, don't do this. The other thing the Democrats have to do is actually get people to use this vote by mail and to go to the polls. Now, if we had no COVID, you'd be standing in long lines. COVID is actually an advantage here because the Democrats will get on the stick and suggest that people use the easiest possible means of voting, and is the mailbox. They'll also have to augment that, and I suspect they will. There'll be mail drop-off centers not run by the post office, and in some cases they might be manned by National Guard units so that people's mail is under secure carriage into the post office and into the balloting station. So they have to do more. This is going to be a big lift. I think you'll find some Republicans helping here too, particularly those in rural areas where they have lost their post offices and ability to vote, and their stations have been closed down. because they fear the farm workers and others voting. So this one cuts both ways. And you have to win the election. Polls don't win the elections, as we found out in 2016. Only getting people out there, walking the streets, manning the phones and the like, wins an election. The really great thing that the Democrats have for them is a woman of color on the ticket. Because it doesn't matter whether you're a woman of color or whatever, having a woman on the ticket means suburban women will see a lot of justice there for themselves, and they'll vote in the right direction.
As you say, Ed, the big news of this week is, of course, the Democratic Convention, Joe Biden officially accepting the mantle of his party's presidential candidate, Kamala Harris officially accepting the mantle of running mate. What were some of the highlights for you?
Well, clearly there's some discussion about whether Michelle's speech was the greatest thing of all time, or the next to the greatest thing of all time. Only the president is talking about being pre-recorded and her numbers not right. He didn't say anything else wasn't right. The other thing is, what I really liked was hearing from so many, what you call ordinary people. People were operating elevators, drugstore owners, people who were in wheelchairs, people who were young, who were old, a whole panoply of people singing the national anthem from young to very old. This is a good TV show, no matter. And the message constantly getting home: racial and economic justice, healthcare, honesty in bureaucracy, restoring international relationships, making America honest again. I don't know what Trump's going to offer other than say he's more experienced right now than Biden. But Biden has 8 years of experience in the White House where they actually did something.
So it was fantastic seeing, as you say, all the regular people kind of coming into this convention. It seemed very much to me Democrats were showing a united front, really going out of their way to show a united front.
I think it's not a united front in the sense you might think. It's a united front to get rid of Trump. And then the fractures start because you have AOC with her crew who want to push very far to the left, to real socialism. And the nation is tracking in that direction. You still have the centrists, the Stacey Abrams and others who are fighting for racial justice before we deal with economic justice. But that's much like the Labour Party in Australia and England in the right versus left debates. The Republicans have a very interesting dilemma because real Republicans, those Republicans we think of as Lincoln Republicans, are the ones taking out ads against Trump. And Trump's message is he got one thing through Congress, a massive handout to corporations. What else he's done is unclear. So I think having this bottom-up approach and showing Joe is one of the little guys is more effective than even I thought.
Speaking of the Republicans, what's going on with the Republican convention? I mean, the first I heard about it even going ahead was that that idiotic couple who confronted Black Lives Matter protesters with guns around their house were going to be attending, presenting at the convention itself. What's going on with the planning for this one?
I think this is darker secret than the Russian hacking. I don't think the Republicans know what they're going to do. And I think there's an awful lot of push and shove here. Remember, they're supposed to have the convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I think they're still going to have the headquarters there. but very little else. It's unclear who's going to be where. It's unclear whether they have any rollout for a presidential nomination. It's unclear who will speak. And if they find some Democrats who will back Trump, I want to know who they are. Oh, sure, Rudy Giuliani. People of very high integrity. So I think we're going to see the Hannity show, and attempts to discredit the Democrats, but very little attempt to offer a program. And it's hard to run on the negative in America. Hope is a big winner.
Well, looking at it post-convention, I mean, you've obviously touched on the issues we're talking about here: healthcare, gun violence. They had attendees from George Floyd's family, obviously confronting the Black Lives Matter kind of issues there. Michelle Obama, it was a terrific speech. It was a fantastic speech, but it also struck me as just how much within her speech and within a lot of these things, how much Trump is still defining the conversation. So we don't want Democrats to be the anti-Trump party. What are they going to be focusing on now that the convention is passed?
Well, when the convention's passed, as it will be by the time we're on the air, I think they're going to be focusing on the rollout of the vote. And I can see it in the way they're proceeding. I think there are going to be more troops on the ground than ever before. Clinton tried to use the airwaves. She's not a person who walks street to street and corner to corner. And with Camilla on the ticket, it'll be easier to mobilize women. And women are the ones who go out knocking on doors. And it may not be knocking on doors, I think it will be in a lot of cases. It'll be this notion of a ground game. And the ground game will be capturing neighborhoods, getting people to volunteer to work at the booth on election day, getting people excited about healthcare and things at the ground level. The airwaves will be run by the Republicans. This Lincoln Project, their ads are really stunning. So I think they can save money there, and money will be redirected at the ground game. The big place will be redirected is toward the US Senate. And there are about six seats. If the Demos take them, they will be in clover. If they get those six seats, they'd have 53 people in the Senate. And the Republicans will have a lot of people retiring in the next 2 to 4 years. So the Democrats could get up to almost 60 people in the Senate. So this is going to be a real ground grind game. Let's look for one thing. Who wins Texas? If the Democrats win Texas this time, I would say no Republican's going to be president for a very long time, unless the Democrats really screw up.
And almost like it was trying to get itself lost in the news cycle, imagine that. On the second night of the Democratic convention, the final installment of the Senate Committee on Intelligence report on 2016 Russian interference actually dropped. Now, again, on Russia, on Manafort, on Roger Stone, reading through this report, it doesn't seem to tell us anything new so much as, again, confirm what was widely believed since the investigation began. Anything worth talking about here, Ed?
I think the thing that the Democratic campaign can use this for is to say the Mueller report didn't indict the president. The president got off on the impeachment, but here's his own party basically saying the same thing, led by Republicans, that we were saying. So you can't say that poor Donald Trump was involved in a witch hunt. This hunt found the witch. So Donald's going to have a very hard time saying, I've been exonerated from everything, and this report is nothing because it came from his own people. He is fighting a rear guard on his heels action. And if I were the Democrats, I'd have a committee working now to figure out how he's going to try to destroy whatever the election outcome really is.
Yeah, my mind does keep going back to James Comey and the way he dropped in with that little nugget about the Hillary Clinton investigation 11 days before the election. And I keep wondering whether something like that is being held in reserve on Trump, or we're going to see William Barr attempt to drop something similar on Biden.
We are. This report that's supposed to be coming out soon has been put together by Barr and his team to say that the FBI was spying on the Trump campaign illegally, and that people who did this should be prosecuted. That's now going to sound like tit for tat. It's going to be hard for people to swallow because the confirming outcome is the issue here. It's very much like the criminal who's caught and say, oh, the search was bad, and so I go free. But you did have the drugs. You did shoot the person. Yeah, the search was not good, and that's what this report's going to say. But the actual deed was committed, and the American people are not going to look at the search warrant. They're going to say, these deeds were committed. I think the talking points that come from this report will refute this bomb they think they're going to drop very easily and very quickly.
And before we go, the Trump deal, I think that's what we're calling it, peace between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. This came through late last week. Ed, what do you make of it?
The United Arab Emirates are a real big power in the world. They have an airport, a bunch of swimming holes, a nice railway system to keep you out of the hot weather. What kind of a power of the world are they? Please. This, again, will not even make it to the next news cycle. The unfortunate thing here is, though, it's done in the name of the United States. It's an ugly deal. But the UAE is looking around for how they can make some money. It has nothing to do with real politics.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in the election race and other news that's going on in the United States. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.